Hey, I'm Kevin.
Hey, I'm Johnny E.
Tune into our radio show, Philly Rock Live.
We play the classic hard rock and metal.
From the 70s and 80s.
We grew up on.
We play the new music those same bands are making today.
And we play new music from around the world.
Not to mention the great bands from our own local scene. You will not hear a mix of music like this anywhere else.
If it kicks ass,
we play it. Philly Rock Live.
Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Philly time.
On PhillyRockRadio.com. Listen online with your mobile device or even your smart speaker.
And now. It's time for another edition of the Sports and Metal Podcast. We talk hard-hitting sports and bone-crunching metal. Sports and metal. Because sports and metal go better together. Now here's your host, Jason Voorhees. And Aaron Savage.
Ooh, yeah!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Sports and Metal Podcast. We are your hosts. This is Aaron Savage. With me, as always, right over there, my partner in crime, Mr. Jason Voorhees. Before we get started, I just want to give a shout-out to our number one sponsor, La Terrain Watches. Make sure you guys go to their website, www.laterrain.com. That's LaTourainE.com. You want to use promo code SNM. That's the letters SNM, as in sports and metal, to save 10% off your purchase at checkout. These are the best handcrafted watches available at the best price point, and you want to tell them Sports and Metal sent you. So without further ado, let's get started. How are you, Jay? What's going on?
What's going on, my brother?
Not much, man. I'm excited for this week. We have some big news in the metal world. Before we really get into things, I just want to give a – we're not soccer guys, but I'd be remiss if I didn't give a quick shout-out, congratulate Team USA in the World Cup on advancing to the Group of 16 knockout rounds. We're all rooting for them. I think it's Tuesday. They're playing the Netherlands. So let's go Team USA. But now to the big news, Jay, that I know we're super pumped about. It dropped unexpectedly this week. We didn't expect it. It was out of nowhere. Metallica dropped a new single. The track's called Lux Eterna, which means in Latin, eternal light. They announced an upcoming album, 72 Seasons, that's going to drop in April. And they announced a big, big world tour that's coming up over the next 2 years, a no-repeat weekend where they're playing Friday and then I think Sunday nights over these weekends with different opening acts. Like I know on the Friday, it's Pantera and I forget who the other opening act is on that first night. And then on the Sunday shows, it's Ice Nine Kills and Five Finger Death Punch. But dude, I mean, it's a really great idea. I mean, think about it. It's something that I don't know if you remember on Some Kind of Monster back in 2003. Metallica talked about aging and maybe touring less and maybe seeing if they could do weekend shows and then, you know, be home during the week. It seems like that's what this kind of is going to be. It's a weekend thing. No midweek shows. So it's Saturday. It's Friday off Saturday, Sunday, and then off until the following week. So it's a no repeat weekend. Like I said, they do a show Friday, Pantera, and there's another opening act off Saturday, a show Sunday with opening acts, Ice Nine Kills and Five Finger Death Punch. And Metallica is not repeating any songs. So if you get tickets for the whole weekend, you're going to see two completely different Metallica sets. Not one repeat song. And we got a Fred DeFeo commenting here, friend of the show, who's going to the MetLife Stadium show. I really hope me and Jay are. That's for sure. But again, no repeat weekend. So you see Friday Metallica. You see a completely different set on Sunday. They're not going to repeat one song. It's pretty fucking awesome. But the biggest thing I want to talk about is the new single, Lux Eterna. Jay, what do you think of it?
I fucking love it. I mean, honestly, you know me. Like, I'm not one of these guys that like, oh, Metallica sold out, you know, all their new material after, you know, Injustice for All sucks. I'm not nowhere near one of those people. I loved Hardwired to Self-Destruct. I thought the entire album was really, really good. I mean, obviously everyone has their favorite tracks off of that record, but this song, it's crazy, but it kind of brings me back to like, it has the old school thrash elements, but it kind of reminds me of like the Garage Inc. album.
Yeah, that's the sound it has. I totally agree. It sounds to me the track. I definitely hear the influences of like Diamond Head, right? And the production is kind of like garagey, you know, the Garage Inc. era. Obviously, it's a little louder because everything's digitally compressed these days. But it has that sound. The riffage reminds me of like, in other words, you could tell that they were kind of hearkening back to their influences with this track. And dude, I haven't heard James hit a note like that since the early days. Luxeterra, like he's getting up there, man. Like somebody's squeezing his balls for that chorus.
It seems like the band is kind of revived. Like as soon as I heard the track, like I was like, wow, this is fresh. Like it's just because I love the Elements. I love their you nailed it, Diamond Head. I love the bands that their influences. I love that sound. And I love, that was part of what attracted me to Metallica originally was, you know, they had that. I'm trying to think of how to describe it. Like, not just the garage aura, but like they had like that. They were like, I am drawing a blank here for the word, but just like, I don't know, like it's somewhat kind of like punk rockish to me, but it's like, but it's still thrash. Like, I love Metallica.
It's hard to say it's still thrash when you're talking about the band that is credited with inventing thrash.
No, and
in other words, Metallica kind of brought forth a new sound I get what you're saying. They had that punk influence, you know, from Cliff Burton, especially. Cliff Burton got them into the bands like the Misfits, things like that. So they had that influence, that punk rock influence, but they also had that new wave of British heavy metal influence, which is where you get the Diamond Head, you know, Sweet Savage, which Vivian Campbell, when he was like 16, was in that band. They've covered them. But so, yeah, it was that new wave of British heavy metal combined with that punk rock, and it sped up, and it was thrash. So I get what you're saying. It was something different. It was unique. And, you know, Kill 'Em All is not one of my favorite Metallica albums. I know that's blasphemy. But to me, Kill 'Em All was just an immature band. To me, they became who they were going to be on Ride the Lightning. They harnessed their sound. The lyrics had gotten more mature. I mean, not that Kill 'Em All isn't, you know, an integral album and what it brought to the table. But to me, that it was Ride the Lightning where they became who they were. But the thing I love about the garage stuff that they did was it was those influences and hearing them play those songs, but it still sounded like fucking Metallica. You know, Am I Evil is a Diamond Head song, but it sounds like a Metallica song, and more people know it as a Metallica song. You know, Metallica covered these tracks that weren't really known, especially in this country, and they made them their own, right? Like, take Bread Fan, for example. That's a Budgie song, but you can't imagine anybody singing it but Metallica. And this song, Lux Aeterna, I'm just hearing those influences again. And I agree with you. Hardwired to Self-Destruct, to me, was a phenomenal, phenomenal album. I think it ranks up there with anything Metallica's put out. Death Magnetic, we've talked about this before. We did an episode of our other podcast, And the Gavel Will Rock, where we ranked all the Metallica records. But Death Magnetic had potential to me. It was after the total misstep of Saint Anger. Death Magnetic was somewhat of a return to form, and more of a return to form than anything they had done since Injustice for All. It was kind of like a modern day Injustice for All, where it was like 8, 9, 10 minute songs, you know, stop starts, syncopated riffs, you know, all over the place, chord changes mid song. So it kind of was like, you know, hearkening back to what that was, but the production just wasn't there. And I think it was still somewhat unfocused. I think with Hardwired, they brought that focus back. It was kind of like the modern day Black album, right? You know, if Death Magnetic is the modern day and Justice for All, Hardwired is the modern day Black album. It was like they took everything they had done on Death Magnetic, condensed it into more song forms, you know, where it wasn't so unfocused. It still had its epic, you know, 7, 8, 9 minute tracks like Halo on Fire, but Halo on Fire was a much more focused song than most of the stuff on Death Magnetic. Another one that I would bring to the table that's a long track is Spit Out the Bone, which is as good as anything they've ever done. So, but the production was better. Just everything about Hardwired was a step up from Death Magnetic. And this is a continuation of that. I think Metallica is back. Metallica is fucking back, bro. You take Hardwired, you take what we've heard here. I have huge expectations for this upcoming album. That's all I can really say. I'm excited. You have these haters like that, just no matter what Metallica does, there's certain people that are just going to say it sucks. And that's just ignorant. It's just ridiculous. You're saying things that make no sense just because you're stuck on an opinion. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, no, and I wanted you to get your point out because I 100% agree with you, and I have a weird feeling, like, as you kind of went, you said Beth Magnetic was like the modern day Justice for All, Hardwire was like the modern day Black album. I have a feeling that this album is kind of going to be a little bit of everything from their catalog. Like, I don't think it's going to be pigeonholed to like one set era
It's hard for me to say based on what I've heard so far, but my expectation is going to be, I think it's going to be a straightforward Metallica record. I don't anticipate that we're going to hear all eras of Metallica. I think it's going to be a straightforward Metallica record.
But I like that because I think a lot of people, as you mentioned, are very like, they go with the trend. It's trendy to say that, you know, a lot of Metallica's newer material is nowhere on par with their old. It's that's all trendy. But to me, a lot of those people, they don't want to admit that Metallica's modern stuff is really good. Like, and the problem with that is I think they ignore the actual music. It's almost like they're like just so hell bent on saying that Metallica is, you know, not near as good as they used to be, that they don't even really enjoy the music.
They're not even like allowing themselves to enjoy it. They're not even allowing themselves to listen to it.
Exactly.
They're going in with a closed mind, 100%.
Yes, and I think that's partially the problem. Like, I think that, like I said, I'm excited because what I heard on this first track, obviously, I think it's going to be like 14 songs. I didn't see the actual.
I read it was going to be 10 songs and about 77 minutes.
Okay.
That means we're in for some epic tracks. 77. I think it was 77 minutes. I think it was 10 songs. Don't hold me to that, but I'm 95% sure that's what I read.
Yeah, I guess what I meant was I don't think they're going to be pigeonholed to one sound. I think that's what I liked about Metallica is that their songwriting to me never really took a dump. Like, I mean, think about it. Like, the Black
absolutely
album.
Absolutely not. If anything, their songwriting got
better. Songwriting has gotten better. And I just think you're right. Like, songs like Spit Out the Bone. Like, I loved that whole album. I really did. I thought Hardwired was one of the worst songs. The title track. And that
and the only reason it was, honestly, between you and I, the only reason it was is because I just felt like it had the unnecessary profanity. Like, you never heard Metallica go, "We're so fucked. Shit out of luck." It's just not Metallica. You know what I mean? I mean, it was kind of like a. But guess what? That was kind of like when they covered Anti-Nowhere League. So what? So fucking what? Maybe there was something to that, but it just wasn't. Metallica didn't need to drop an F-bomb to have a great tune. Hardwired is, to me, a great song. I think the thing that makes it slightly less great is the use of the F-word. And I'm not anti-F-word. I love Guns N' Roses using the F-word because that's what they do. But Metallica never did that, so I didn't need it. You know what I mean? But yeah, I agree with you. There's so many better tracks than Hardwired. I love Moth Into Flame. I love Now That We're Dead. I love Spit Out the Bone. Halo on Fire is, to me, an epic masterpiece. So it's a great record, bro. You know, I'm looking forward to the new one. We'll see.
And it's brought up a lot of debate lately because obviously Megadeth dropped their brand new album this just recently. And I heard a lot of debate. Like,
well, you might have looked on Twitter. You might have looked on my Twitter. I did the Megadeth or Metallica poll. We got 88% Metallica, Jay.
Yeah, I know. but listen, when I say Megadeth, that's just my taste. But I've never been one that says, "Oh my God, Megadeth is like far and away better than Metallica." Because I don't believe that. The reasons that I believe that Megadeth to me, and because when I say Megadeth, I really mean Dave Mustaine, because Dave Mustaine's the only constant in Megadeth. I mean, if you think about it.
To me, Megadeth is basically Dave Mustaine's solo project.
It's pretty much, because it's always a revolving door of artists.
But it's like Wasp with Blackie Lawless.
Dave Mustaine, to me, solo project. I mean, if you're going to say that Metallica is great, to me, I still think that, you know, you have to – you can't just ignore that Dave Mustaine wasn't a part of early Metallica. Yeah. And I know
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
He doesn't get the credit for you know, the songwriting and stuff, but he wrote a lot of that material, especially on the first record.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't even know why you're going here. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
It's fine.
Dude, the people that we're talking about that say, oh, nothing after Injustice for All, nothing after Black Album is worth listening to, are the same people that are like on the Megadeth train. Like, always saying Megadeth's better than Metallica. Now, you might be the exception, but I know Megadeth's your favorite band. But that is a big part of it. I'm not going to name names, but we've seen that on social media just this past week. Guys that are just on the Megadeth train. And those are the guys that won't listen to Metallica. But yet, Megadeth did Risk. Megadeth did Super Collider. And everything Megadeth did when they took those risks wasn't as good as the stuff Metallica did when they took their risks. Let's call a spade a spade. And I love Megadeth, so I don't want to sound like a Megadeth hater. You're kind of boxing me into that corner where I have to do it, but because that's not what I am. You know, Megadeth's one of my favorite bands. But I have to do this in the position that I've been put in here to defend Metallica. Dude, we can't continue to fucking ride this Dave Mustaine train for what he did 40 years ago with Metallica when he has a few songwriting credits on the first two records. And honestly, one of those tracks, The Mechanics, Metallica made 10 times better when he left the band when they turned it into Four Horsemen. So we're not going to take credit away from Dave Mustaine by any means, but when we constantly bring this up, it's almost like to degrade Metallica as if, oh, they needed Dave Mustaine. Look what Metallica did without Dave Mustaine. They put out their best fucking album, all material that had no part in writing, Master of Puppets, right? That was your number one Metallica record when we ranked them on And the Gavel Will Rock. So, I mean, the point is, let's stop. And honestly, we can get into this on another show.
Well, you brought up the poll. I'm just...
Well, you brought the poll. I only brought the poll up because I did the poll, but you just brought Megadeth here on this, which is precisely why I did the poll.
I'm saying...
Because you always have these fucking Metallica haters that have to bring up Megadeth. As if that has anything to do with what Metallica's doing.
Yeah, but I'm not a hater, so I can't be lumped into that group. I'm one of the few.
I agree, but why bring
I'm one of that? The few that actually says that both bands are great for what they've done. I mean, Metallica is definitely a lot more successful commercially. I mean, that's
and obvious. They deserve every minute
that's
of it.
That's obvious. But
Metallica deserves every minute of their success.
But that doesn't mean that's not good or that Dave Mustaine's not a great in his own right. I mean, to me, Dave Mustaine, like if you want to say that Metallica was the beginning of thrash. Yeah, you're probably right because Dave Mustaine was in Metallica. But if 100%. Realistically, if you want to say who realistically polished thrash and made it like what it really is, that has to be Dave Mustaine. Because those early Megadeth albums, as much as you might say Metallica was better, those early Megadeth albums were pure thrash. Like,
oh, 100%. I have no disagreement there.
Not
but,
even.
I mean, it's just unfortunate that we have to keep bringing. It's why Dave Mustaine comes off as such a jackass. Like, come on, bro. All Dave Mustaine should be happy with his own success, but he chooses to constantly bring up Metallica. Constantly. He looks like a jackass.
Hey, I mean, he's still living in that, like...
For what? Why? It's
I don't know, because some people can't ever bury the hatchet, dude.
I know,
some
but it's pathetic. He should be basking.
He uses it as a fire to kind of make himself better, and if that's what he wants to do... You can't fault somebody for that because he was.
I can.
you can.
Because honestly, he would look a lot better if he didn't do it. Megadeth had plenty of their own success. And if you're going to do this whole Megadeth Metallica thing, I think the material Metallica has put out in the last decade trumps the Megadeth stuff. Megadeth, my favorite period was the Marty Friedman period. They've had some highlights subsequent to that. But I'm just overall, the songwriting isn't there. And let's call a spade. I know he's had throat cancer. All respect to Dave. But dude. Vocally, James Hetfield is running circles around Dave Mustaine. And Dave actually had a little point, you know, in the midpoint of Megadeth's career where he sounded pretty good. You know, he had an acquired taste voice, kind of like you would say about Axl because it's so unique.
I mean, he's a spoken word.
A lot of notes.
Spoken word vocalist, though. Like,
yeah, but he wasn't for a period. Never... When you look at the albums like Countdown, even some of the stuff on Rust in Peace, Euthanasia, Cryptic, he was hitting. He was singing.
He's never been
he was a great vocalist, but he was a lot better than he's been in the last 10 years. It's almost unlistenable. And every melody, every vocal melody in every Megadeth song sounds the same. So that's my issue with Megadeth. Metallica's writing songs that have melody to them, that have hooks to them, and are still representative of what they were, and songs that stand the test of time with stuff they put out all those years ago in the glory days. Megadeth just isn't. Megadeth is putting out songs that are like musically phenomenal, but there's no hooks. Dude, come on. Soldier On. What's the other single from the new record? Let's look at the singles. What's the other single?
We'll Be Back.
We'll Be Back. You listen to those two tracks, the vocal melody is almost exactly the same. Let's call a spade a spade. Come on, Jay. Stop.
I think he sounds better.
We'll move on. We can do this all day. I'm not trying to diss him. I love him, but
you're good.
We're good.
That's what.
Listen, before we move on, something else I know we're going to really enjoy talking about. We're talking about polls. I had another Twitter poll this week. This is sports and metal, so let's tie the metal into the sports a little bit. I did a poll this week on Twitter where I asked everybody, what is your favorite song to get pumped at a sporting event to? Yeah, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're watching an NFL game, and there's like a big moment, and you start hearing the opening chords to like Hell's Bells or Welcome to the Jungle. You hear it, or like Thunderstruck. We could tie Metallica into this. Enter Sandman sometimes you might hear, although to me on a lesser scale. Or like a closer's coming in a big baseball game. But you know what I'm saying. Big moment in a fucking game. You hear a song that gets you fucking fired up. I polled it. Now, the four I put in the poll were Thunderstruck by AC/DC, Hell's Bells by AC/DC, Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, which you could also do for Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. I'd probably do that above Enter Sandman. I was going to do a Metallica song because you do hear For Whom the Bell Tolls, you know. What was the other track I did? Oh, you have to put the Final Countdown, Europe. You always hear that. But, dude, if you had to pick the best sports pump-up song, what would you pick, Jay? I want to hear your input on this.
I mean, the one I picked was Thunderstruck because I just
can't go wrong with that.
When I hear that, instantly, not only do I know it's AC/DC, obviously, because it's one of their signature songs, but like it just sends chill. It's one of the, honestly, they're all good. I love Final Countdown. I could have picked Welcome to the Jungle because they play that at a lot of
all the time,
a lot of Philly sporting events.
All the time.
Well, not that other teams don't, but I know
you hear it all the time, every sporting event. Yeah.
But they're all great. I actually think Master of Puppets would be a good, pump-up song.
I agree with you, but, you know, there's certain songs that just have that opening riff. And that's, you know, I don't know that Master fits the bill, but it may. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just think of certain ones that you tend to hear all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for me, it's tough. I could pick all four, just like you. It's very hard for me. But if I really think it through, I'm probably going to go Hell's Bells. And I'll tell you why. It's that ominous opening. You know, I remember Trevor Hoffman used to come out to pitch to that when he would close out the Padres games. And a lot of times in an NFL game, when it's like a big moment, you hear that. And then the lyrics, I'm rolling thunder, I'm pouring rain, I'm coming on like a hurricane.
Yes.
White lightning crashes across the sky. You're only young, but you're gonna die. Won't take no prisoners. Won't spare no life. Nobody's getting out alive. What's that?
I'm curious which song took number one. I know
on my poll, I believe it was Thunderstruck. Let me pull it up here.
But Hell's Bells, I have to agree with you. I think
it's tough. I could go Thunderstruck just as easily. Thunderstruck, I think, might pump me up more like before a game. You know what I'm saying? Like you're the game's starting. Like I could put like a team running out, like a football field, a football team running out of the tunnel. Thunder, like starting it off. That's like, but like in the moment, like, you know, 2 minute warning, fucking first and goal, and you got to make a big stand on defense. That's Hell's Bells does it for me, man. Hell's Bells for me. But you know what? Thunderstruck was the winner. 37% of voters on my poll picked Thunderstruck. Hell's Bells finished second with 24%. Followed by Welcome to the Jungle at a very close 23%. The Final Countdown came in at the tail end with 16%, which I find shocking because you do hear that all the time. But you know what? I don't know if that's such a pump-up song. That might be another one of those songs that's like early in the game, like coming out, you know. But
I would have to go – I mean, we should probably do – because you know me with lists, but we could probably come up with like 25 songs.
Yeah, but for me, sure. These are the four. For me, that's why I put them. This is the four horsemen of fucking pump up songs in sporting events, my opinion. And I had a cool commenter here. He wrote, "I'm a huge GNR fan, and Welcome gets me really pumped. But for some reason, the bells tolling at the beginning of Hell's Bells in some primitive way signals to me it's reckoning time." That's how I feel. So that was a great comment. Moving on, let's continue with the sports commentary, football. We talk about getting pumped up, fourth and goal, blah, blah, blah. All right. Your NFL MVP to this point, who do you got? Now, I know the answer. Let's hear it.
I don't want to be a homer.
You're going to be, and it's okay, because I'm going to come off as a homer too, and that's fine.
I would have to say Jalen Hurts, only because the Eagles are 10-1. That's the only reason.
Well, no, there's more reasons. Jalen Hurts has other reasons that you can
defend. I'm saying between him and Tua, to me, that's the thing that sets the Eagles apart. Now, you could sit there and make the argument, oh, well, Tua was hurt, so he wasn't in some games, but that's still representative of what he's played. So you can't, like, while you can't.
Well, I think that argument only supports why I think Tua is the MVP so far.
And that's
what
fine.
You just said. And I'll tell you why. Because the Dolphins are undefeated in games that Tua starts and finishes. The only three losses they have were the Bengals loss, which Tua got knocked out of in the first half, a game that they were dominating up to that point. So I have no reason to believe they would have lost that game based on how they've played and finished games prior or subsequent to that game. So that's one. And then the two games where he was out to the Vikings, who they almost beat with their third string quarterback, and to the Jets, who they were about to take a lead in the fourth quarter with their third string quarterback. And then, you know, Skylar Thompson turned the ball over like four times and Jets ended up running away with it. But does anyone in the world think the Jets would beat a healthy Dolphins team? No. So we know that wouldn't have happened. So you could make the argument the Dolphins would actually be undefeated if Tua never got hurt. You could make that argument, just like you want to say, oh, they're 10-1 with Hurts. So just to clarify, you say Jalen Hurts is the MVP to this point. I'm going to a Tagovailoa. Now, I want to preface this by saying, in my opinion, it doesn't matter who we think, because I think Mahomes is going to win it. Now, Mahomes has the stat. And again, this is the MVP to this point. Obviously, there's still a lot of football to be played, so anything could change. But to me, I think Mahomes would win it if you were going to vote today. And it'll probably be that way at the end of the year, simply because Mahomes has amazing MVP numbers and he has the track record and the reputation. And I just feel like it's just the easy thing to just give Mahomes the MVP. I don't necessarily think that's fair. I think it should be between Jalen Hurts and Tua. And I think there are arguments for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has amazing rushing stats that Tua doesn't have. The Eagles are 10-1. Jalen Hurts has amazing passing stats, although not as good as Tua's. But again, Tua, Dolphins are undefeated when he plays. So the fact that they're 0-3 when he doesn't play, to me, supports the MVP argument. We're not talking about studliest numbers, which Pat Mahomes right now has simply by virtue of having played every game and being Pat Mahomes, because I could also make the argument that if Tua didn't miss those three games, his numbers would be right there with Mahomes. If you take Tua's averages, he'd be slightly behind Mahomes in yards, slightly behind in touchdowns, but pretty much right there with a higher completion percentage, higher quarterback rating, higher yards per attempt, higher touchdown percentage per attempt. Tua basically leads the world in every passing stat besides the cumulative stats that he can't lead because of missing those games. But Tua leads the world in quarterback rating, leads the world in yards per attempt, leads the world in touchdowns per attempt. Leads the world in whatever. I don't remember what I said, but basically every passing stat he leads in, and it's really not even close. You know, Tua's got 115 quarterback rating, and Tua's got a 19 touchdown, 3 interception, touchdown interception percentage. I mean, dude, I just think you look at the numbers and you look at the Dolphins with and without Tua, that's why I think he's the MVP. Do you think the Eagles would have lost three games if Hurts missed three? I just your opinion. I mean, maybe you do think that, and that's fine. I'm just saying that, do you think a loss of Hurts for three games would make the Eagles go 0-3 during that period?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, then it's fair. I can't disagree with it.
I don't think either team really had a great backup quarterback that would be able to overcome the difference in the talent level between either one of them. Because I think coming into the season, you and I both said how, and it's crazy that it's actually panned out this way because I didn't really know what Jalen Hurts was going to be or even Tua.
Neither one of us. Yeah.
I think, but coming into the season, we both agreed that they were on a similar trek.
We did.
Meaning they both had similar, like, you know, things to overcome, like, you know, criticisms, because a lot of people, you know, were saying the same arguments about Tua that they were about Jalen Hurts, that, well, they might not really be a good NFL quarterback. They were good in college, but they don't necessarily have, you know, the moxie or the ability to be a, you know, successful, let's say, upper echelon type quarterback. And I think both of them have answered the bell and then some. I mean, which is cool. Because for you and me, I mean, we're both, you know, you being a Miami fan, me being an Eagles fan, I think it's awesome because how cool would it be if the Eagles faced the Dolphins in a Super Bowl? And I'm not going to lie. I think that could very well come true because I know that a lot of people are still saying, oh, the Bills, but Miami beat the Buffalo Bills and the Bills have not been.
I'm getting tired of hearing about the Bills.
Dominating.
And that could change. The Bills might get hot again.
Well, and I get that, but I'm excited. Just because mine and your team are both good, because how many years have we had where my team is good and you've struggled? Because Miami, let's face it, they haven't been one of the best teams.
No, it's been a while, dude.
They haven't been, like, right now, Miami, like, it's like, oh my God, like, they actually have a legit shot. And it's actually cool because I don't know. Listen, I'm an Eagles fan, but I like football. I like NFL. Like, I'm not one of these Philadelphia-centric type people. Like, I like sports. Yes, I'm an Eagles fan. But I also won a Super Bowl in 2017. Not me, personally.
But your team, yeah. But yeah, you've been living the dream lately, man.
But it is cool to see your team having some success. And like I said, I can't hate on the Dolphins because it's like they're not a hateable team. Like, I like Tua. I actually like Tyreek Hill. A lot of people don't like him. I love Tyreek Hill. I love Jalen Waddle. I think they have so much talent on that team, and it's just so cool that the Eagles and Miami, like I said, they're in similar situations. And I agree. I think if you look at the numbers per se and the whole factor of you know, the fact that Tua was out and that, you know, the Dolphins, you know, could have been undefeated or whatever, I think they're both right there for the conversation. But I have to agree with you. I think the league, it always ends up being a guy that has, you know, the resume. I mean, we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years where he won, and I didn't think Aaron Rodgers should have been the MVP because there was guys I thought were better. I mean, Josh Allen had better year, I thought, last year than you know, Aaron Rodgers. I thought Pat Mahomes had a better year, but they didn't win. Aaron Rodgers did. So I think similarly this year, I think Mahomes – listen, you can't argue against Mahomes.
You can't. But I just think it's unfortunate that it's almost like a given that Mahomes will win the MVP. And I just think
it's a given, though. I think if the Eagles and
I think Tua and Hurts are putting enough pressure that it might not be a given. But it, in many ways, it almost comes off like it is. Right? You know what I mean? I think the narrative is starting to change recently because it's like these teams are doing so much and the players are doing what they're doing. But there is something to the narrative that Mahomes is just going to win the MVP. And it's not like he wouldn't deserve it, but I just think other guys might deserve it more. And it's like, unfortunately, just keep giving it to the same guy. And I just think it's like, dude, I put it this way. It is exciting that me and you, as best friends and fans of our teams, that we're talking about this with our favorite quarterbacks, that they could be MVPs. You know, I mean, that's – and one more thing I was going to say about Tua, but I might have lost my train of thought. I don't remember. I was going to say something else. When you were talking, I had something else with the Tua argument, but dude, they're both very deserving. I personally think Tua deserves. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I also think another thing that would make it really cool for Tua to win it and add to his deserving is the fact that his injury was so scary. Dude, what he suffered in that Bengals game where he had the, you know, the fencing reaction and his fingers were like that. Dude, people were talking about if this guy was going to play ever again, let alone this season. For him to come back 3 weeks later and put up the numbers he has is a credit to this guy, and the Dolphins haven't lost. I mean, to me, those are things. It doesn't take anything away from Jalen Hurts. If it was any other year and any other circumstance, I'd probably just say Jalen Hurts deserves it because he is that deserving. But to me, it's just it's Tua's year. It's just really, to me, and obviously, again, it could change. We're not done yet. A lot of football to be played. Dolphins could go spit the bit this weekend in San Fran. We don't know. I'm saying there's a lot of football. But to me, to this point, when you look at all the factors, the fact of the doubters of Tua, how far this team has come. They're undefeated when he plays. They might be undefeated if he hadn't got hurt. And what he came back from. To me, that's an MVP. And I just think sometimes that you got to look at it that way. You know what I mean? It doesn't take away from the other guys, but you got to look at it that way. You said yourself how like the Dolphins have been in the depths of hell for a lot of years. And look where they are right now. I mean, you got to say something about that. And guess what? The Eagles also have overall a better running game. Now, the Dolphins are starting to flip the script a little bit since they got Jeff Wilson. But overall, and the Eagles have been much more known for their offensive line than the Dolphins have, which the Dolphins line has been playing a lot better now. But now Terron Armstead might be hurt. We don't know. He just missed the season-ending injury with his pectoral injury. It could have been a tear, but they said it was a strain. I mean, Terron Armstead goes down. Dolphins line is garbage. Garbage. So we shall see. But anyway, it's going to be exciting.
I think Miami has the better defense.
Well, here's the thing. The Dolphins' defense has been terrible this year to this point, but they've been better lately. And I do believe that they're going to be a top-five defense the rest of the way.
Overall, they have a better defense than
I think they should have a better defense. I don't think they have had a better defense. But last year, they had an elite defense. That this year, they've had so many injuries. Byron Jones. I mean, they have guys that haven't played. I mean, they've underperformed. And I think they're a little healthier now, and I expect the defense to play a lot better, which I think bodes well for them with playoff and Super Bowl aspirations. But then again, this line gets hurt. It changes everything, man. So, I don't know. What's up, fellas? It's close between the two of them, but we are leaning Hurts. Oh, I know you guys are. You're Philly guys. Go out on a limb. Come on. Anyway, that was the Drunk on Broad podcast. Drunk on Broad meaning Broad Street, Philly. Go figure. Of course, they're leaning on Hurts. Anyway, dude. Why don't we get into something I know you want to get into, the picks of the week?
Hell yeah, man.
Now, I'm full disclosure. I didn't do a pick of the week this week.
And that's
the reason is we talked about my pick of the week. My pick of the week would have been the new Metallica, but we opened the show with it. So I'm sticking with it. I've talked about it ad nauseum. My pick of the week is check out the new Metallica, Lux Aeterna. Check out the single. Get ready for the new album in April. Get ready for the tour. That's my pick of the week. Short and sweet. So what do you got for me, Jay? This is all you.
My pick of the week's actually not an album. It's not a book. It's not a new song. It's actually a tour. So very recently, we had Mr. John Wiederhorn, famous author, metalhead, from our local area, up near Aaron, actually.
Rock connoisseur. Yep.
Mr. Wiederhorn, we had him on, and you know he talked about having went to the Wasp Armored Saint show. Well, I was actually able to attend that show a few days later. And so when John had been on, Armored Saint actually had to have a different vocalist because John Bush was out with some kind of sickness or he lost his voice. Well, when I went to the show, I went there expecting to see the new, you know, the guy filling in. Not that he was bad because John said he did a tremendous job. I know you saw videos, said he killed it. But all of a sudden, Armored Saint comes out at the show, and lo and behold, John Bush is back. And let me tell you, dude, I'm putting this show as a top five show for me of all time. And that's saying something, dude, because these guys are old as hell. Dude, they kicked ass. Both bands were phenomenal. Like, both bands put on, like, an amazing show as far as how they sound and also their, you know, their stage presence. Obviously, Wasp had a lot more of the stuff going on.
Well, they were the headline, so they're going to have a little more budget in their show. Yeah,
exactly. But both bands, at the age that they're at, to be able to put on a show of that magnitude, it blew me away, dude. And you told me when I went, because full disclosure on my end, I never saw Wasp live. I mean, I watched videos and YouTube and stuff like that, but I never actually watched Wasp live in concert. Now, obviously, Wasp, the newer regime, is not Chris Holmes, and it's not the regime or era that I was actually...
Regime.
The era. It's not the era of, you know, musicians that I'm kind of... that I grew up kind of being enamored with. But let me tell you, dude, they played three tracks off the Idol album. And that's actually my favorite Wasp album.
Idol. I didn't hear you. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's what do you call it? Idol. The
Crimson Idol.
The Crimson Idol.
Yeah, okay.
They played three tracks from that record. And they're Chainsaw Charlie, that's my favorite Wasp song. So obviously I love that. But like the song that really showed me like how amazing Wasp is. And I guess this is a testament to obviously Blackie being able to get good musicians, but it was the track The Idol, which is basically the title track from that album. It's not the Crimson Idol, it's just The Idol. But it's like a 7-minute epic song. And like the guitarist that they have now, he was not the original guitarist on the record. That was Bob Kulick, who actually played in Kiss. But let me tell you, dude.
No, Bruce Kulick.
Yeah, Bruce. I'm sorry. Brother. One of them played in Kiss.
Bob Kulick.
Dude, it was like insane. And I put out a lot of videos of the show. Armored Saint, like I said, they kicked ass. Both bands kicked ass. And I guess what was like most amazing to me is that Blackie Lawless sounded like as good as he did back in like 1980. Like, that's how good his voice sounds now. And the dude looks like he's, like, ready to keel over. Like, that's what's crazy about it. Like, you're watching him on stage, and he looks like this, like, his face is, like, he's really old. Like, you could see how old, like, he's an old dude.
He is an old dude.
Like, his energy level, dude. And, like, he was so happy. You could tell that he was just happy to be there, and he's very thankful to the fans. Like, during the show,
just to give you a heads up, Blackie's 66 years old now.
It just seems like he's even older.
It's
like looking at his face.
I know.
But like listening to him, like it gave me chills. Like when they played Wild Child, dude, it was like I remember hearing Wild Child back in like 1986, dude. Like blaring. And like it was like one of the biggest songs on MTV at the time. And like I guess that was another part that I enjoyed of the show. While they played the concert, they were playing the old videos, the MTV videos in the background. Like every song, they had the videos up. So it kind of brought you back to like that era of like just being in the 80s. And I'm an 80s guy. Awesome. You know it. Yeah. We love that's our music. And it was just, I don't know, dude. I don't know what else to say other than it was like unbelievable experience to be able to witness that in person.
Now
I have a newfound respect for how great Wasp is because I always thought they were a good band, but I was just never like, they were never one of my top.
Yeah, see, I'm much more of a bigger Wasp guy than you. I love Wasp. But I just want to get into this a minute. You know, Blackie came out this week or last week, and he admitted that Wasp uses backing tracks in their shows. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, shit, I don't care, dude.
I don't either. I'm going to tell you right now why. Blackie said it himself. To answer your question, we are using backing tracks. You want to know why? When we go into a studio, but let me clarify that statement. That's me singing. But when we go in a studio, we do choruses. We double, triple, quadruple the vocals. So my feelings were when I listened to live YouTube recordings of our shows and we weren't doing that, it sounded thin. When we started supplementing it, it sounded better. If I'm a fan and I'm coming to a show, I want that thing to sound as good as it can. There are other bands, the queens of the world. They cannot duplicate 24 vocals at one time. That's what they do on those records. If you want it to sound like those records, you've got to have some help. Now, in defense, I guess maybe what you're asking, is it fair for a band to go out and only use backing tracks? No, that's not fair. But like I said, I take a lot of pride in what I do for the lead vocals that I do. But when it comes to vocals or when it comes to orchestration, long story short, Blackie's saying, you know, I'm out here, I'm singing. But yeah, I'm layering my vocals. I have backing tracks. And I agree. I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's so awesome that Blackie came out and said it. Because I'm going to call out Eddie Trunk right now. All Eddie Trunk does is lambast bands that use backing tracks. Huh. Sebastian Bach's even done it. And I know there are certain bands that basically are straight up lip-syncing or a joke. But, dude, when you are layering vocals on albums and you go out live, it's no different than, like, when bands are layering multi-guitars. I mean, sometimes they have backing tracks to overlap that sound. So it sounds great live. And if I'm a paying fan, I want it to sound great. I don't want the band to not be performing like Milli Vanilli. I'm not saying that, But I don't mind if the band's performing and doing everything that they do, but there's some supplemental backing tracks.
Dude, what's the difference between using backing tracks and, like, you know, having, like, a stage show like Kiss with, like, all the, you know.
That's what I mean. It's part of the performance. It's part
of
the joy.
I only care about, at the end of the day, what I care about is the sound. And they fucking kicked ass.
That's it. That's it. You got what you paid for. You had to kick your show. So your pick of the week is the Armored Saint Wasp show that's currently touring. Check the show out if it comes to your
definitely
area.
I mean, I know they're out. They're heading towards, you know, Midwest now again. But, dude, if you're watching this show and you haven't seen it, go.
Awesome.
And as Aaron said, we hopefully will be in fucking New York to see Metallica.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking.
I know tickets went on sale, I think, today.
Yeah, so. Well, that was a pre-sale. I'm going to wait it out and see what we could do. But anyway, listen, man, it's been a great show. Once again, guys, I want to thank you guys for checking us out. Make sure you check out our number one sponsor, La Terrain Watches. Again, you're going to go to their website, www.laterrain.com. You're going to use our promo code SNM. That's the letters SNM, as in sports and metal. You're going to save 10% off your purchase. Check them out on social media at La Terrain Watches. Also, make sure you guys check out our website, www.sportsandmetal.com. That's www.sportsandmetal.com. To get all your fix on sports and metal, check out our blog there and prior episodes of the podcast. Make sure you check out all our socials, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, at Sports and Metal. You can find us on TikTok at Real Sports and Metal. At Real Sports and Metal is on TikTok. So just make sure you check us out. And as always, we're glad you came and joined us this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. We want to hear comments from you. If you have an opinion about the best pump-up song in a sporting event, message us, DM us. We want to hear about it. We could talk about it on a future episode. Anything you want us to talk about in the sports and metal world, hit us up. Maybe we could talk about it on a future episode. So, again, thanks for watching, guys. As always, rock on.
Peace out.
And that's our show. Tune in next time for more sports and metal. With Jason Voorhees and Aaron Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Got something to say? Hit us up at sportsandmetal0423@yahoo.com.